This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Fans of the Netflix hit Queer Eye will already know this, but season 3 drops later this month. And if somehow you have managed to live through the past year or so in this economy without hearing about this show, it's a makeover, if you will, of a makeover show from the mid-2000s called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Five gay guys, the Fab Five they were called, offering wardrobe, grooming, and lifestyle advice to a usually stylistically challenged heterosexual man. The new show is similar, but a bit different, a tad broader in the scope of the makeover. Karamo Brown is the designated culture expert in the new Fab Five, a one-time social worker and therapist. He's the life coach, kind of that group. Anyway, he came down to Marketplace World headquarters here in Los Angeles the other day to talk about the show and his new memoir. It's called Karamo. He and I sat down in the studio, we said our hellos, and then we got right to it. So look, we're going to get to you and the book and the show and all that stuff in a minute. But I want to pull out a thread that's actually in the book about, in essence, how you wound up doing what you're doing.
Yes.
And it's a guy we've had on this program, RuPaul.
Yes.
I want you to tell me what it was about RuPaul that made you say, I want to do that.
Well, my two personal heroes are Phil Donahue and RuPaul. And when I was in the, I think it was 8th grade?
Yeah, you were a kid.
Yeah, I was a kid. He had a VH1 talk show that not many people know about because they only know about him from either being a drag performer or RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right.
Seeing a black gay man do something that was inspiring people immediately resonated with me.
I led with that because it is clear through this book and what I've read about you and seeing you on the show that you are extremely intentional. You have a plan.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
Like since forever.
Yes.
What would have happened, do you suppose, if things had not gone according to plan? Because you did the Real World Philadelphia, and it was a terrible experience for you. You got lucky getting on Queer Eye because you squeezed in at the last minute.
Yep.
You have a plan, but you kind of live on the edge.
Yeah. Well, I believe that's the way you're supposed to act.
Ooh, say more about that.
So something that I tell my children all the time, and I've actually shared on Queer Eye, is this
two kids, by the way, two boys.
Two sons, yeah. One biological, one adopted,
yeah.
Is this mantra of plan, do, ask for help if needed. I think it's very important for you to have clear intention about where you want to go. But along the line, things are going to pop up that don't give you what you thought the outcome should be. And that's when you have to ask for help and readjust. Failure isn't the opposite of success. It's part of it. And if you can use failure as gifts that are given to you to get to the life you want, then you'll always be great.
Okay. So to then season one of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So you get on the show and it's all great. And, you know, the five guys and you're having a good time and all of that. But in the course of filming season one, it's your sense, as you say in the book, that the producers are trying to put you into a slot that you maybe are not happy with. They want you to talk about plays and art and this and that. And you're like, I'm more internal than external culture.
Yeah.
And then you watch season one when it airs and tell me what you saw of yourself.
I was completely embarrassed because of season one.
Yeah.
I watched the first episode with my children, and they were like, here's our father who's educated, who worked as a social worker and a psychotherapist for many years, and he's making photo albums.
Right.
And I was embarrassed by that. And I understood what they were trying to do. Queer Eye, for the most part, from the original iteration to now, has been a visual show. People would like to see physical makeovers. And I think that we underestimated the audience to where now, with season three coming out, they are like, Karamo, go for it. Help people understand why they haven't had a haircut in 20 years, why they haven't changed their clothes in 20 years, why they're self-deprecating, especially in a space where most people don't understand that their behaviors are hurting them. I think it's important to have someone like myself on the show and to have a book like this to give them advice so they can live better lives.
That's so funny you call this an advice book, because it's really not. It's your life. There's no, you know, subparagraph of here's what you do in this situation. It's you, you know, iterating your story.
Well, I think a lot of us learn from other people's examples. That's why shows like Queer Eye are so important to us, because someone living their life shows you a roadmap of what you can do. And the stories that I discuss in the book are universal. How to deal with addiction, how to deal with abuse.
Yeah.
And I do share some examples of what you can do to have those hard conversations with people in your life, which is that direct advice.
Important point, not to be glossed over.
Yeah.
Here you are in your sparkly baseball jacket and you know, designer frames.
This is a bomber jacket.
It's a bomber jacket, you're right. Sorry, it's a baseball hat.
Yeah. Baseball hat, yeah.
But look, you actually have been there. You've been in addiction and you've been in an abusive household, right?
Yes.
So you know whereof you speak.
Mm-hmm. I have. I've been through these things. And a lot of times people will contact me on social media and say, you don't understand because you've never lived it. And I say, no. I've went through the gambit of it. I've had addiction. I've went through a household of physical abuse, emotional abuse. I have been a single parent who was making $40,000 a year trying to support two children. Social workers don't make that much.
But you've also been the guy who, after real world and probably now too, can get paid $10,000 for showing up at a club in Hollywood and sticking around for 30 minutes.
I did after the real world. Yeah. Those days are gone. There's no more club appearances.
No more club
appearances.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
after the real world. But at that time, I didn't have the guidance from my parents to know how to even manage that money. I'm not like one of these individuals who were raised with a silver spoon in my mouth and now I've always lived with private planes. I still have never been on a private plane. You know what I mean?
Just for the record.
Yeah. I remember the first time I was in first class the other day. You know, it's a very real experience for me.
So let me ask you a little bit of a poke in the eye question.
Yeah,
here.
Poke me.
And this is it's going to sound political, and I really don't mean it to, but you're a deeply thoughtful man who makes his living now on a reality television show, who got his break in reality television 15 years ago,
exactly.
And we live in a society and an economy which is deeply fractured, at least in part because of reality television.
Okay.
Discuss.
So I was on a reality show 15 years ago where I added to that fractured nature, where I was all about the arguments and no solutions. And I then took a 12-year break, let's be clear about that, where I worked on myself and went back to being in my career. And when I made the decision to come back to television, I decided I can't go back into this space where I am adding to the division that we're feeling in our country. And so it was an intentional choice to make sure that if I was going to be back in TV, that I was going to do things that were going to somehow try to heal and help us to grow. And so what Queer Eye has done for me is given me an opportunity to say to people, yeah, at one point I was a little ass, but now I've learned and now you too can figure it out and grow. Because at the end of the day, we all want love. We all want support. We all want someone to care for us and to show that back to other people.
Karama Brown, you know him from Queer Eye? He's got a book out too. Called Karama. Thanks for coming. That's a smart title, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.